If you want, I'll give you like a 1 minute overview of what I saw, and then we can just open it up. And basically, I thought Kaya and Kaiser in the first group threw the ball real well. You knew Kaya would because that's who he is. I mean, clean pocket, clear vision, throws the ball beautifully. Kaiser's got a big arm. That next group of quarterbacks, Mahomes, Trubisky, Webb, Watson, outstanding. I thought Watson had better footwork and great accuracy throughout the whole day. I thought he was really interesting. And I'll just stop there because there's thousands. I could go through a thousand things and bore you to death. So what do you guys want to hear? I always say fast guys run fast and slow guys run slow, okay? And it's only a story when the opposite happens. So I knew John Ross was going to run 4.35, 4.30. So when you say does it help him? I mean, he jumped 37 inches. He broad jumped 11.1. He had an extremely athletic workout. The problem is with John Ross, and I love John Ross, okay? His tape is great. So when you compare that, put speed on top of it and all the rest, the issue is going to be medical. He's got a small frame. He's had multiple knee operations. He's going to get his shoulder done. Today he cramped up, couldn't finish. So that's going to be a theme for him going forward. There's no doubting the speed or the talent. So it didn't help him get it because we all knew he was fast. I mean, Malik McDowell's a talented kid. So tomorrow's a big day for him. His football team wasn't as good last year as it's been in previous years. I think he's just got to prove that he can be more consistent. He certainly flashes, and we'll see how he is athletically tomorrow, which I think will be good, but he just has to be a more consistent person as far as his habits are concerned, his work ethic, and his gameplay. You can't do it in this setting. I mean, we're talking about Watson in the pocket, and I think all of the spread quarterbacks to some degree or another have issues. And some of it you can't even see out in the field because it's – I mean, Deshaun Watson looked over at the sideline for 100% of his calls, you know, not just the pre-snap calls, but where's the safeties, which half of the field. I mean, so he gets an awful lot of information from the sideline, which isn't going to happen in the NFL. So it's a transition for him pre-snap and post-snap, right? So – Dak Prescott did a heck of a job. We've seen different quarterbacks do a good job with it. But for the most part, it's a huge transition. And what I see with him is when he gets past that first look, it breaks down a little bit, especially with the underneath coverage. Thank you very much. I mean, it's hard to answer that in a vacuum before free agency. Because that could change the day after free agency, you know. So I think when you look at the Dolphins, they hit, you know, Lippitt played pretty well last year. They drafted a second-round corner in Xavier Howard. When you're sitting at 22, I mean, I think they just need to from an edge perspective, Wake's getting older. Tim Williams is going to slide a little bit, I think, for off-the-field stuff, and he's an exciting edge player. Solomon Thomas can play inside and outside. Tack McKinley, Charlton, Taco Charlton, T.J. Watt, Charles Harris. They're all – I got eight guys that have potential first-round grades as edge rushers. They're not all going to be first-rounders, right? So, and then you look at linebacker, and Hassan Reddick has climbed from Temple. Tomorrow's a big day for him. Zach Cunningham from Vanderbilt. Tomorrow's a big day for him. Reuben Foster's not going to be here, which is a shame, so we're not going to get to see him. And then, again, the corner and safety class is the best I've seen. So you start getting down into the mid-20s is Humphrey. What's Tease Tabor going to run tomorrow? Adoree Jackson, the safeties, Jabril Peppers, you know, he's kind of a major question. What's he going to be? How do teams view him? What Obi Melanfonwu, is he going to be the 22nd pick or the 52nd pick? You know, there's still a lot going on here. Well, I think it all – I mean, they're at 14. I think it all depends how it rolls out, right? And I think a lot of what the Eagles do at 14 is going to be determined by free agency. And if they go out and sign a free agent wideout, which one is it? Or trade for one, which one is it? If they get a vertical threat, then would they go for a bigger wideout like a Mike Williams at 14? On the other hand, if they were able to sign a Cooks, You know, do you go opposite, in other words? So if they're going to sign, if they sign the Alshon Jeffrey, maybe all of a sudden, what's his face from Washington looks like the guy. You know, if they sign a little guy, you might want to. So I think they've got to kind of pair what they get in free agency or a trade. I think the offensive tackle class is as good as this draft is. That's where the weakness is, and I think you can find some interior offensive linemen, but once you get past the first two guys, you know, there's a bunch of question marks. And I look down my tackle list, and after Ramczyk and Bowles, I think Garcia is really interesting from Troy. I think Rod Johnson and the guy that's helped himself in the Senior Bowl combine process is Taylor Moten from Western Michigan. A lot of people thought he might be a guard. I think he's going to be a tackle. So I think he's a guy that will be in the – you know, there's been an average of 10 offensive tackles going the first three rounds. I've only got about four with grades in the first three rounds. Some other guys are going to get pushed up, I think. Which ones are what? I think Garcia could develop into one. He's too grabby right now, but he's got great feet and long arms. So I think Garcia could be good. Rod Johnson from Florida State could be really good. And then after that, there's not anybody I'd bang the table for. As far, I mean, because Moten, Illuminor, David Sharp, they're good run guys that are big-bodied guys, not quite as good in the pass game. Why would they be affected? No. You feel bad for the kid, and then you go on and perform. You know, I mean, it's one thing if you're missing him in a game, there's a tangible problem. But I think they just feel empathy and move on.
Mike, do you know Chris Ballard at all? I'm wondering if so. What would you say about maybe his guiding principles in the draft?
I can't even give you that because I do know Chris a bit, but not enough for me to be able to honestly help you. Desmond King's a football player, and that sounds stupid, but that's what I hear most from coaches, and that's what I believe, right? So I don't care as much what he runs. I just know that he's going to either play outside corner on a zone team, a cover two team. He can play a little bit of nickel. I think he's going to be a free safety. He had 8 interceptions 2 years ago. He's got good ball skills. He's tough. He's smart. He comes from that Iowa pedigree, which I also like. I think he's going to be fine and play in the league a lot of years. As far as what? Drafting players or?
Yeah, the state of the team, yeah, they need to add.
Well, I think the state of the team is whenever you have a young franchise quarterback, it's really exciting. And I think they're in that phase right now where they're starting to feel that they can compete. And they showed that last year. And now they need to continue to develop talent. Last year they drafted for the first time some defensive players. In the first couple of years was an offensive draft. So I think they've got to address the secondary a little bit, and I think maybe the run game, take a little pressure off Jameis Winston. Wideouts, Vince Jackson's coming back again apparently, but, you know, they need to get younger and a little more athletic on the edge. James Conner is somebody we all root for, and I made the comment yesterday during the show. His best year was his sophomore year. He's still kind of recovering from the cancer. And if you go to the Patriots and you look at what they did several years ago with their starting right tackle, which is – thank you, I'm mush right now after 7 hours. Marcus Cannon had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma coming out of TCU, mostly second and third round grades. He ended up going the fifth to New England. So I think some teams will look at that and they've got to qualify medically whether he's totally clean or not and how confident they are in that. And then what is he just as a football player? And if this had never happened, what would he be? And I still think he'd be a third-day guy if he never had cancer. I mean, he's a big, strong back, but he's not as disruptive as some of the other guys. So I think he's a third-day possibility. Yeah. With the corners? Yeah, the corner thing. I had some coaches telling me the other night, we're going to get a guy in the fifth round that would typically go in the second or third round. They're still jockeying for position, and a lot of it is what kind of defense are you? I counted like 8 to 10 corners that were 6'2 or longer And if you go back 5 or 6 years, you wouldn't have four guys. So a lot of that Seattle, Atlanta, cover one, cover three thing is going to start to permeate throughout the league. People are looking for long corners, and there's more six-foot guys than I've ever seen. So I think Sidney Jones, Lattimore, Humphrey, Tabor. Tabor's got to run well now, and there's some concerns about that. Tre'Davious White. I love Adoree Jackson's upside and the ability to help immediately in the pass game, or excuse me, in the kick game. Quincy Wilson, Garyon Conley, you know, Douglas, Witherspoon. You know, that's 11, 12 guys right there that would, and that's what the average is, 12 corners go in the first three rounds over the last 5 years. That's the average. Now, I can start to give you Cam Sutton from Tennessee is going to go in the second or third round. Casey from San Diego State. Awuzie, I love, from Colorado. The kid Wilson from Houston. To me, they're all second or third round picks, and we're down to like 16 names now. That doesn't include Lewis from Michigan, Tankersley from Clemson. So I'm getting into 17, 18 names in the, that I have grades 1 through 3 when there's typically only 12. I'm not going to rank them, but I'll tell you what I saw. And what I saw was kind of as advertised. And you start with Kaiser. He's got a big arm. Now, his footwork isn't always tied into the upper body as well as it needs to be. So every once in a while you see a ball sail or a bad throw, and that's why. But he's got a big arm and a high ceiling. Trubisky is polished. And even though he's only played 1 year, which bothers me, but even though he's only played 1 year, you can see the quick feet, three-step, five-step, ball comes out, quick feet, quick release, and accurate. Really like him. Mahomes is the wild card. Man, is he athletic. I mean, it's nothing's conventional, and you could tell. I mean, he almost feels constrained five-step with a hitch. He wants to get out of the pocket, make plays, sidearm. But I thought he threw the ball real well, and you could see his arm strength. And the guy that I thought really looked good today was Deshaun Watson. I mean, they all look good. But his footwork was better than I expected coming out of their offense, and his accuracy was consistently outstanding. So I think Watson is a guy that just caught my eye amongst a group of kids that played as – and, by the way, the Cal kid, Webb, big arm. And, again, when his footwork matches up with his upper body arm strength, it's pretty special. So I thought – and the two guys I would want to develop, third or fourth round guys to me that – I think have potential, quote, starter characteristics would be Kaya and Tennessee kid Dobbs. Both of them are highly inconsistent in the pocket, but they've got size and arm strength.
Mike, you're talking about edge guys, and
yeah.
Some of those guys have to transition to a 3-4. Now, ultimately, looking down the road, when the guys, you know, after they make that transition, the ones that don't make it, what tends to be, is there a common thread oftentimes that prevents them from maybe being that guy?
Here's what I tell you about that. What an edge, a 3-4 outside linebacker has to be in the NFL in this order. He's got to be a hellacious pass rusher. He's got to set a physical edge in the run game, and he's got to drop in coverage. And it's in that order. So priority number 3 is the drop, and that gets a lot of attention because a lot of the guys that stick their hand in the dirt and don't drop, that gets too much attention in my opinion. Because when the 3, you're not dropping James Harrison a lot. You know what I mean? Pittsburgh's bringing him. If you can do 1 and you're special, you can live in this league for a lot of years. If you can do 1 and 2, you're probably a Pro Bowl player. And if you do all 3, you know, you're in the Hall of Fame next to Lawrence Taylor. So, right? So that's the kind of – and I'll tell you, a conversation I had with Tom Bahali 3 or 4 years ago in training camp, which I found fascinating because he was a guy that had to learn to stand up. And I asked him what the differences were, and he basically said, you know, people don't think about it. When your hand's in the dirt, your eye level is at a certain place, and your whole world is the tackle across from you. That's the only thing you see, and your job is to beat him up all day long, right? That's it. He said, when you stand up and you're off the line of scrimmage, all of a sudden you got a triangle of this defensive end, this quarterback, and a back, wherever he may be. And all 3 of them, you've got to weigh what's going on there, and you've got different responsibilities depending on the – so it's a little bit more of a thinking man's game on top of it. So, anyway, I digress. Well, tweener's an interesting conversation, especially with an evolving league. And it does, you can this conversation could be for any position. You know, I mean, there's a lot of quote tweeners out there. I look at you look at Charles Harris. You look at Watt. You look at a bunch of those edge guys, and you go, okay, You know, what are they? Can they stand up? Can they do both? Or are they just, you know, which ones are 4-3 ends only and which guys can stand up? And I think that whole thing's changing. And what I would tell you is that, again, I'd go back to what do you do best. If you're a hellacious pass rusher, it really does, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals might like long defensive ends that are more like 260. But if you like Derek Barnett, who's a little shorter than they typically, you know, he's a hellacious pass rusher. You know, and the 3-4 teams might like him, and the 4-3 teams are going to like him. Well, I don't even know what Barnett was because I've been tied up all day, but he's been sick. He's been throwing up and sick, so I don't even know if he's going to. He didn't do anything today, and he might not work out. So, but his tape is, you know, I mean, it's really good. So he'll be fine. So, yeah. I mean, what Ohio State's done from a recruiting perspective is kind of mind-boggling, and I think it's underscored by the fact that two potential top 10 picks in this draft we didn't even know about a year ago, you know, Lattimore and Hooker, you know, they're one-year guys, but the year they had was amazing. They've got all these draft picks that have gone on, and they just keep backfilling. So at the end of the day, what Ohio State's done is recruited well and developed that talent very well. The NC State kid. I think he's going to test better than people think, Josh Jones. And I think he had a good – I'm trying to remember the years. 2014, I think, was his freshman year, and he had a really good year. He didn't play as well in 15, and he came back this year and had a really solid 2016. So he's a little bit off the radar, but he's got good size. He's going to test well on his 2016 tape as well. So I think he's a little bit of a riser, especially if he runs tomorrow in that 4-5 range, like I think he will. What's up? Yeah. Jabril Peppers is a great conversation because I think he did what he did this year was for the team. He showed himself that the team's more important than where I go in the draft potentially. And they put him as a linebacker and occasionally out at nickel or whatever. He was an in-the-box linebacker, strong safety. The kid's going to run in the 4-3s, I believe, tomorrow. I've seen him play a little bit off the ball, and that's – to me, he's a safety, okay? He at 205 or 210 or whatever he weighed in at, which I don't even know. To me, he's a safety all day long. And if you want to put him at dime linebacker on third down in your sub package, absolutely. But it's a matchup game. Everybody's getting tired of me saying it's a matchup game, but it is. And Bill Belichick's the best that ever did it. And I think other teams are trying to figure out what he does and why he does it. Jabril Peppers is a matchup player. Okay, on first down, he might be in one place. And on third down and eight, he might be in another place. He can play in the middle of the field, because he's going to run 4-3 and have great range, but he can line up at nickel. And if you really want him to cover that running back who's a matchup running back, like Christian McCaffrey, you know, now you got Peppers lined up with McCaffrey. I'd pay money to see that. So it's a matchup league, and I think people are starting to figure that out. Yeah. I'm a big Hassan Reddick guy. The Temple kid who was a 4-3 defensive end and went to the Senior Bowl and lit it up as an off-the-ball linebacker. So teams are looking at him as a 4-3 will, and they're looking at him as a 3-4 inside will. And because he can drop, he can run, he can actually blitz, and the job he did covering running backs at the Senior Bowl, he's gone from maybe third, fourth-round guy to probably a second-round player. And if he runs, you know, 4-5-5 tomorrow, like Deion Jones or one of those guys last year, I think he's going to be in a conversation with Cunningham. I really do. And then Jared Davis, who's been hurt from Florida, is in that conversation. There's more good athletic linebackers. Bowser from Louisville is in conversation, both 3-4 and 4-3 teams. So.
On T.J. Watt, you mentioned him a couple times.
Yeah.
What do you think of him? Obviously, he's got the DNA. He's got production. He also done it for 1 year. He's had some injury.
His tape's really good, and you kind of look at it, and you put the tape in, you're kind of going, oh, you know, come on, little brother, he can't be that good. And then he starts lining up and running around, and he's got the same effort that his older brother has, and he's a freakier athlete than I expected. And I think the 3-4 teams are really going to like him because athletically he can drop a game. That's number three of three. But he's a better pass rusher than I thought, and he's relentless in the run game. So you've got to take the injury thing into consideration with any one-year player. But at the end of the day, I think he has potential first-round talent, but you have to temper that with can you expect to see him 16 games every year? At running back who helped themselves yesterday, Zach. I can't remember the last group, let alone yesterday. I'll tell you what was cool about yesterday. And Fournette at 240 comes out and runs 4.51, right? How about O.J. Howard at 251 ran 4.51, you know? But this running back class is the best I've seen in years, like the tight end class, like the corner class, like the edge class, like the safety class. Dalvin Cook, I didn't think he had a great day yesterday. Measurables, all the rest of it, how he ran around, but 90% of your grade's tape, and his tape is the best I've seen this year. Now, Fournette at 250 or 240 pounds, he's a different animal than the other guys, and if you draft him in the top 10, you better commit your offense to that. Look, if you're Carolina and you want to run the football 25 times a game and compliment Cam, that's a heck of a pick, right? But today's NFL is more kind of like, you know, it's a pass-first league, and I think Dalvin Cook's one of the guys, but I think the guy that maybe helped himself the most in that group is McCaffrey. I mean, he got done with the running backs, and they put him out at slot receiver, and he looked like a first-round slot receiver running routes. Then he did the return game. So out of all the running backs yesterday, I came away saying, and it's funny because I got a text from his coach, David Shaw, and basically said, told you so. Okay? But he can stick his foot in the ground and change direction. He catches the ball better than any running back in this draft and maybe better than any wide receiver. And we go back to that matchup conversation, and that's why I think he can be so special at the next level.
So, Mike, going down the ground, your team like the Vikings, you may need to get a starter at running back in the middle rounds. Who are some of the guys that you like
and why? And depending on what you're looking for, Perine is underrated. Even he didn't run well, but I didn't expect him to. 230-pound back that's really solid. I like Jamal Williams from BYU and Kareem Hunt from Toledo. I think they both offer three-down versatility if you want it. Wayne Gallman, I thought, looked pretty good from Clemson. I love Pumphrey, but as a third-down change-of-pace guy, you can kind of go through this list, McNichols from Boise, and you just have to pick your flavor. Some of the third down change of pace guys, some of them are more power big guys. But when you get into that third, fourth round area, I think you're going to start seeing those names that I just gave you come off the board.
All right, thanks, guys.
Of the big running backs? Well, I mean, you start with Fournette. Mixon is a 230-pound guy that's a first-round talent, and that's a whole different conversation. Perine, I like. I'm not as high on Foreman from Texas as some people are, and he was listed at 249. He weighed in the 230s, but he's a solid player. Corey Clement does a lot of things very well, and I think he's going to be kind of a fourth or fifth round bigger back at 222. But there's a whole group of these guys out there that Connor, you know, that we've talked about before. So there's a whole group. Sorry? I'll take a couple more real quick. I think the 4-3 teams are going to like him a little more. He comes from Wissahickon High School with a different kind of background, has hardly played any football. Didn't know who I had dinner last night with Ferrante, the Villanova's head coach, and we talked a lot about him. And his ceiling is really high, and he went to the combine, played pretty well, better than I expected him to. The 3-4 teams, I don't think he's quite strong enough yet to be a 5 technique, and I don't think he's ever going to drop as an outside guy. So I think he's going to fit as a developmental defensive end. And if he does well tomorrow, which I think he will, it wouldn't surprise me he went in the second round. Now, he probably fits more in the third or fourth round just because of what you're going to get out of him in the next year or two, but his ceiling is huge. Right now, I try to stack them up based on football. But as we get closer to the draft, there's a realistic take on all of this. And, you know, the poster boy this year happens to be Mixon, you know, and I think it's going to be, number one, an owner conversation. Some owners have already taken him off the board. That's a fact, okay? The rest of the teams are going to have to vet him and make a determination. And I've heard a lot of conversation about what's-his-face from Kansas City that went in the fifth round last year. You know, that's kind of the benchmark. Like, okay, that was last year. He turned into an all-pro. Mixon is a first-round talent. At what point can you take him? So it's a lot like anything non-football. It's a lot like medical, the character issue. All that stuff gets vetted, and some teams say he's off the board. Other teams might say, and I'm not talking about Mixon now, I'm just talking about issues. Other teams might say, you know what, I can live with that medical issue or I can live with that character issue, just grade the player. A lot of teams say it's a sliding scale. I'm not willing to put a one on him, but if he was sitting there in five, I'm taking him because I can mitigate my financial loss that way. So all teams are looking at it three different ways. I think Hooker's a little bit better center fielder with a little bit more range and a little bit better man skill. I think Adams is a little bit better thumper and more consistent tackler, but he can still play in the back. So I wouldn't talk about either of these guys as top 10 picks unless I felt comfortable they could do both. But Hooker just is a little bit more fluid and athletic, but he doesn't tackle as well as Adams. It goes. It's a previous conversation. It's anytime you get a one-year guy that's had some medical, you know, you've really got to vet this kid, and you got to look at his body type and his frame and the history of injuries. Your medical staff has to say, those injuries don't concern me. Okay, they're not going to lead to future injuries. Whereas some guys have deteriorating knees or shoulders, and they go, we're only going to get a year or two. So it's a combination of what your doctors tell you, and then how you feel about what that position entails. So I'm going to take off, guys. Okay. Thanks very much. Really appreciate it.